Hey, welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, joined today by my dad and co-host, Dr. Tim Clinton. Thank you for listening. Hey, if you enjoy today's broadcast and want to help the AACC equip the church to provide Christian mental health care and resources to those in need, and even to help us provide training to those ready to step into a people-helping role, just go to aaccfoundation.org. Again, that's aaccfoundation.org to donate. Your gift helps keep this program and your station on the air as we expand our ministry to train others to have effective mental health ministries. Hey, we'd love for you to be a part of our family as we continue sharing messages of help, hope, and healing with today's generations. My dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, and I have a wonderful guest joining us now. So let's get started.
On today's broadcast, we're bringing you a conversation my son, Dr. Zach Clinton, recorded last summer with a good friend of ours at the AACC, Dr. Daniel Amen. You've likely heard of Dr. Amen's groundbreaking work to end mental illness by launching a revolution in brain health. He's a physician, adult and child psychiatrist, and he's the founder of the Amen Clinics, which is now 11 locations across the United States. With over 225,000 SPECT scans from patients in 155 countries, Amen Clinics holds the world's largest database of brain scans for psychiatry. On today's show, Dr. Amen will share findings written about in two of his latest books, Change Your Brain Every Day and Raising Mentally Strong Kids, How to Combine the Power of Neuroscience with Love and Logic to Grow Confident, Kind, Responsible, and Resilient Children and Young Adults. Daniel's a good friend, he's a colleague, and he'll be with us speaking at our AACC World Conference this September on his latest findings as he continues to study the human brain. Always insightful, always fascinating. This could change your life and your mental health and cognitive health for better. Let's get started now with Dr. Zach Clinton and one of the world's prominent experts on the brain, Dr. Daniel Amen.
Dr. Amen, my friend, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much, Zach. It's great to see you.
My friend, it's always a blessing every time I get the opportunity of just sitting down and interviewing you, sharing a conversation, and just gleaning from your wealth of knowledge and wisdom. Today, before we dive into all the heavy stuff, some tips and some strategies that we can offer our members and students and leaders, the weather is getting nice, Dr. Amen. What does a summer look like in the Amen household?
Well, it's very busy. I have 5 grandchildren and 6 children. So it's very busy, but it's full of activity and sports and friends and good food. But this year's very special. One of my patients, you mentioned Scan My Brain. One of my first patients I did was Olympian Alicia Newman. She is a female pole vaulter, and she is going back to the Olympics, and I'm going with her on her
coaching
staff because the brain's involved in everything you do. When she first saw me, she was very depressed. She had a brain injury, and through the work we've done last year, she was the world indoor pole vaulting champion. And
wow.
I'm so excited to go to Paris and be part of the Olympics. So we're all talking about high performance. And, you know, she's a bit like a superhero in that she takes a pole and jumps over a bar that's 15 feet in the air. So that takes every bit of brain function to do that right, where you're setting world records.
I tell you what, Dr. Amen, that sounds like an incredible thing to be doing. I would love to go to the Olympics alongside of you, but that sounds wonderful. And you hit it on the head when you talked about like a brain injury, because I know you have a unique perspective. There's a lot of members of ours here at AACC that would probably reference mental health, but you primarily talk about brain health. Speak to the importance of that language that you use and kind of why you refer to it as brain health instead of mental health.
So we've now done over 250,000 brain scans. We do a study called Brain SPECT Imaging. We've done it since 1991. And the scans taught us that most psychiatric problems, anxiety, depression, ADHD, OCD, they're not mental health issues. They're brain health issues. Get your brain healthy and your mind will follow. And this one idea just, it changes everything. Nobody wants a mental illness, right? Call somebody mental and you shame them. Call them a brain and you elevate them. And our current way we diagnose things is you have six of these nine symptoms. And so you end up with ADHD or you end up with depression. Think about it, Zach, with no biological data. And then you get put on medication or multiple medications with nobody knowing what does your brain look like before they drug it into submission. What does it look like afterwards? Where if we think about it as brain health, well, now all of a sudden, you probably should stop drinking because that's poison. You probably should stop smoking pot. If it's brain health, you need to eat right. You need to get to a healthy weight because as your weight goes up, the size and function of your brain goes down. So it literally changes the whole paradigm. And we have to, because we're clearly going the wrong way in our society. And, you know, nobody wants a mental illness. Everybody wants a better brain. So what if mental health was brain health? And I'm going to beat that drum until I'm not here to beat it anymore.
And I appreciate you beating that drum because it's important to recognize this holistic approach. That's what I appreciate about you and the work that you do. And I think it speaks to even a lot of people trying to incorporate in our field the biopsychosocio-spiritual assessment, right? And understanding the person across multiple spectrums, especially up front and intake sessions and different things like that. Speak to the importance of not just in a sense boxing it into, oh, this is mental health stuff, but actually looking at things such as the physical and the physiological factors as well as the psychological.
Well, you know, forever when I was at ORU, where I went to medical school, we learned about a biopsychosocial spiritual approach.
Right.
But nobody was looking at the bio. It's right. Like, right. They were sort of giving it lip service. Oh, you have bipolar disorder in your family. This is a genetic thing. And I'm like, no, no, no. You need to actually look at the brain, because when you look at the brain, is it a traumatic brain injury that caused the depression? Or is it toxic exposure because you live in a mold-filled home? Or is it the COVID vaccine which caused inflammation in the brain? Or is it COVID? You know, if you go, what's the main cause of this mental health epidemic in children? It's COVID. Nobody knows about it. But, you know, I have before and after scans showing that COVID, the virus, and the vaccine activate your emotional centers. And all of a sudden you're anxious and all of a sudden you're depressed. And if you don't know that, you come up with all sorts of explanations. And last year, Zach, I don't know if you know, but there were 340 million prescriptions written for antidepressant medication. And we're not better for it. We're worse for it.
Wow. Let me tell you, it's important, like you said, not just to give that bio part lip service, but to actually dive into those things. Like you mentioned, over 250,000 SPECT scans. Can you give our members and our listeners who maybe aren't fully aware of what a SPECT scan is, just a better understanding about it? And also, how could they possibly refer a client over to some of the Amen clinics?
Well, we have 11 clinics, so I can go to amenclinics.com. We'd love for them to come take a tour. We're in New York and Washington, D.C. and Hollywood, Florida, Atlanta, Chicago, Dallas, Seattle. Scottsdale is our latest clinic. So go to amenclinics.com. And I say you should recommend a scan if what you're doing isn't working, right? It's like they're depressed and I've seen them in therapy and they've tried medication and it's not working. That's our sweet spot, is people have tried multiple things that are not getting better. SPECT is a nuclear medicine study. It looks at blood flow and activity. It looks at how your brain works. And it basically shows us three things: good activity, too little, or too much. And then our job is to balance their brain. And when we balance it, well, their life is better. I'll tell you a story. I was just talking to Troy. He had Troy Gloss, 2002 World Series MVP, third baseman for the Angels. And he had 321 home runs in his career, massively successful. Wanting to kill himself and depressed and angry. He thinks he's getting dementia. He's 45. And he had four concussions. He's drinking way too much. His brain was awful. And seeing his scan shocked him. And I'm like, but we can make this better. And one of the reasons I love the athletes I see is they're used to being coached. And so they don't fight with you. You know, got to stop drinking. And here are the foods I want you to eat. Here are the supplements I want you to take. And here are the exercises I want you to do. 2 months later, he's better. His brain is better. And now we're 2.5 years later, and he doesn't miss alcohol. He's more social. He's happier. And it's not just about him. You know, I became a psychiatrist because my first wife tried to kill herself. And when I took her to see a wonderful psychiatrist, I came to realize if he helped her, it wouldn't just help her, that it would help me. It would help our children. It would help our grandchildren, as they would be shaped by someone who is happier and more stable. But if you don't look, how do you know?
Yeah. I love what you just mentioned about the impact or the trickle effect, right? You're not just helping the individual. You're also helping all of the individuals that are attached or tied to that individual that you may be helping. It's so imperative, and it's so important to look. And so that's kind of a question I would have for you. What are some of the most interesting findings that you guys have found, maybe some themes you found interwoven throughout the 250,000 SPECT scans, maybe even differences between like male and female brains? That would be interesting to me.
Well, I published a study on 46,000 scans looking at gender differences, and we're not the same species.
Right.
The female brain works so much harder and generally is healthier than the male species. And, you know, the one statistic that just pegs this is who goes to jail? Males. 14 times. More than females. And females have much better activity in the prefrontal cortex, in that most human thoughtful part of us that's involved in things like focus, forethought, judgment, impulse control, organization, planning, empathy, learning from the mistakes you make. And females make great leaders. But, you know, they're often not because of gender bias. Females also have a busier limbic or emotional brain, which is why they have depression 2 times more than males do. But female brains are wired for bonding, for empathy, for collaboration, for connection. It's really interesting. Now, the male brain tends to be bigger in the direction sense. I'm way better at directions than my wife.
Same.
And also in a part of the cerebellum, which is involved in coordination. But it's fascinating. You know, one of the other interesting things I've learned is your brain is not fully developed until you're 25 in girls and probably around 27 in males. What does that mean? It means we need to protect our teenagers. We need to protect them from marijuana. We need to protect them from alcohol. We need to protect them from energy drinks. We need to protect them from social media. It's too often parents think when a child turns 13 or 14, they don't have any control. And they abdicate their influence. And that's a huge mistake. And 15-year-olds hate being supervised. But they hate it more if you don't supervise them because they think you don't care about them.
So true. And that's when it goes back to, you know, they almost seek structure, They almost seek discipline. And you kind of gave a perfect segue right into your newest book, Raising Mentally Strong Kids, How to Combine the Power of Neuroscience with Love and Logic to Grow Confident, Kind, Responsible, and Resilient Children and Young Adults. And speak to just, I mean, what was that topic like for you, Dr. Amen, just to not only to write about, but to speak on, to do research on, and how significant is it for the day and age we find ourselves in?
Well, you know, many people don't know I'm also a child psychiatrist, so half the patients I see are kids. And one of the most effective things I've ever done for kids is get their parents to behave better. And so my first year as a child psychiatry fellow, they taught me to do play therapy with ADHD children. And I hated the kids because nobody got better. And I hated right. Don't get people better. That's my own neurosis, I suppose. And the second year, we did parent training. And then all the kids got better. And, you know, Freud actually never saw any children. He saw a child, but only talked to the parents. And so if you can get parents to do the right things, it helps the children so much. And given the epidemic of children and teenagers having mental health problems, the way out is not through more medication. The way out is through more bonding. It's more connection in a healthy way. And so the book has some very big principles, like one, know what you want. What kind of children do you want to raise? I want to raise a mentally strong child. And what kind of parent do you want to be? Well, I want to be present, and I want to be fun, and I want to be firm, and I want to be kind. Because the research shows those four qualities raise competent kids. And I don't want to solve my children's problems. You know, I think when I was a young parent, I would get self-esteem by helping the kids do better or helping the kids solve their problems. And then I realized I was stealing their self-esteem to feed mine. So when a child comes and says, I'm bored, rather than go, well, you could do this and you could do that and maybe we could do this, stop that. Go, oh, you're bored. I wonder what you're going to do about it. And then shut up long enough for them to generate solutions to their own problems. We also, the best exercise in the book, bar none, is called special time. Spend 20 minutes a day with your child and do something they want to do. And during that time, no commands, no questions, no directions. This is bonding. In the you know, I don't know if you know this, but mothers spend half the time with children they did in the 1950s. Half. And when they're with them now, they're distracted by their devices. And so hold off on giving kids devices until they're 14 or 15. You're like, oh, but all their friends have it. And all their friends are suffering. So it's like, so what? But 20 minutes a day doing something they want to do, and during that time, no commands, no questions, no directions. It is so powerful. But parents are often talking over their children and telling kids how to think without having any clue what the child actually thinks.
Right. I love the concept behind this book because it really speaks to almost attachment theory. And what it talks a lot about is being able to recognize, like what you were trying to infuse within your own child, right? Capability, responsibility. Special time is such an important exercise and practice for parents to incorporate into their daily, weekly techniques. But also, I think of even Dr. Kathy Cook's work. She does a lot on resilience. I've done a lot of research on resilience myself in my dissertation phase on resilience and human flourishing within collegiate athletes. And what really has been found is kind of the common theme of positive adaptation in the presence of adversity, but it's rooted in relationship. My dad has mentioned it several times, you've probably heard this, that healthy relationships can almost have the same mediating effect as good medicine on the brain. And with that comes the, in a sense, brain, mind, body connection. I'd be fascinated for you to kind of speak to that connection and how significant it is within our lives.
Well, you know, you bring up relationships, and if someone's brain is troubled, their relationships are troubled. And nobody thinks about that, right? If you're seeing a couple, you're not going, I wonder what his frontal lobes are like, or I wonder what her emotional brain is like. It's one of the huge lessons you asked about the lessons. As I did a study on 500 couples, I call them the couples from hell, that failed marital therapy and still want to be together. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, somebody's got a brain issue that is interfering. But, you know, what I dearly love, you know, when you think of biopsychosocial, spiritual, get someone's relationships better and their depression's better, right? Head to head against antidepressants. Interpersonal psychotherapy, teaching people to have better relationships, is equally effective. If you're depressed, are there ruptures in your relationships? Of course, you should get your brain healthy. But part of this book, one of the major tenets in it, is if you want to raise mentally strong kids, notice what you like about your kids way more than what you don't like. Bear Bryant, the famous Alabama Crimson Tide football coach, said he never showed his players film of what they did wrong. He only showed them film of what they did right. And imagine how your relationship with your child will change if you focus on what they do right.
Dr. Amen, where can we go to find out more about you, your incredible resources, and all the amazing things that you're doing?
So they can go to amenclinics.com. So Amen, like the last word in a prayer. Imagine growing up with that last name. Loved it. Amenclinics.com. Find out where 11 Clinics is. Call them. Make, you know, go for a visit.
I would encourage all of our members, students, and listeners to go to amenclinics.com. Follow Dr. Amen on social media. He offers incredible insights on a daily basis. Dr. Amen, from all of us here, my dad and I especially at the AACC, we love and appreciate you, my friend. Thank you for all the work that you do, and thank you for your time and willingness to join me today.
Thanks, Zach. Give your dad a hug for me.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit AACCFoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
This is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors, for your Mental Health Minute. Do you remember the day maybe the light went out inside? The moment that everything changed? When someone broke your spirit, shut you down? I hear it all the time. I hate him for what he did. I hate her for what she said. Maybe, just maybe, it's time to let that go. To build a bridge over it, let the healing begin. Because holding it inside, harboring unforgiveness, it's like drinking your own poison. It doesn't hurt them. It hurts you. Hear me. Let it go. Forgiveness only takes one person. And no, that doesn't erase what they did. Reconciliation, that's a whole different story. But for now, let it go. Let life come back into your heart. Give forgiveness a try. This has been your Mental Health Minute. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors and host of Life, Love, Faith, and Family. To learn more, go to AACC.net.
Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, our mission is to connect those seeking help with a provider who offers the faith-based care they need. At CCC, we offer free mental health assessments for the user to help gauge their psychological and emotional well-being, as well as free self-help blog resources to help educate readers on topics such as depression, anxiety, and more. Christian Care Connect bridges the gap between those seeking help and the caregivers offering it, fostering connections rooted in clinical excellence. If you're looking for help, it's closer than you think. And if you're a provider who's ready to offer help, this site is for you too. Visit ChristianCareConnect.com to find the help you need or get listed as a provider. That's ChristianCareConnect.com.
Do people ever come to you asking for help? Maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.